Welcome to the CW Eugene's April 14, 2017 program, Meet the Candidates, Bethel and Eugene Fourier School Boards. This is the 27th program in a current programming year. My name is Juan Carlos Valle, City Club Board President. The City Club brings together civic-minded people to make Eugene a better place to live, work, and play. We are a member-supported nonprofit. Our members have a direct influence on public policy, so become a member today by going to www.cityclubofeugene.org. We cannot do this without supports from you, from membership, and sponsors. Support for the City Club of Eugene is provided by our members and sponsors, including the Oregon Country Fair. The Oregon Country Fair creates experiences that nourish the spirit, explore living artfully and authentically on Earth, and transform culture in magical and healthy ways. Sandra Erickson, our very own program committee chair, is coordinating the program. Sandra, would you mind standing up? Thank you. And for the audiences in the air, radio, and TV, it is my pleasure to formally introduce our new executive director, Mark Howardy. We did a transition from administrator into an executive director. So very, very excited to have him continue in guiding us to the expansions and improvements at City Club. So once again, Mark, congratulations. All right, so in today's forum, we meet the individuals who are running for election to our local school boards. Once elected, these are the people who will be making important education decisions for the Bethel and Fourier school districts. The priorities of school board members are key factors in determining how the districts cope with funding limitations, diversity, school facilities, hiring, and many other issues. Each candidate will speak about their values and beliefs for children's education as they seek four-year board positions. All candidates were invited to participate. Those candidates who appeared today accepted an invitation to speak. All the candidates who were not in the attendance today are either running unopposed or were not available to attend. Each candidate will have 2.5 minutes, 2.5 minutes only, to introduce themselves. We ask that each candidate give their name and position they're running for before making a brief statement. After introductions, we'll take a short break so questions can be formulated for the candidates. We will begin with Bethel, proceeding in order to district position number, followed by 4J. Now, members, if you have a question for a candidate specifically, we'll ask the candidate to address it, and I will ask others to chime in if they want to. With that, let's go ahead and get started with this program. We're going to start with this lady. Go right ahead.
Hi, my name is Danya Johnson, and I am with the Bethel School District, and I'm running for position 2. I am running unopposed this year, so you get the real deal. I really wanted to talk today about how wonderful our Bethel community is and some of the great things that have been happening in our district. Just since 2008, we have become a statewide leader in the use of fresh and healthy, locally grown and manufactured food in our schools. The dream of a Bethel farm has actually come to fruition. We have a 2,000 square foot solar powered barn giving Bethel students meaningful hands-on learning by growing their own food that we actually use in our nutrition services to feed our students with. That's a wonderful and amazing thing that we can do to show them how they can be sustainable, to show them how they can work the land and how they can provide for themselves. Another thing that I'm incredibly proud of, partially because I was a founding member, but is our Bethel Education Foundation. Our foundation, since its inception, has put over $150,000 into classrooms through teacher grants. I have read some incredible grants over the years, and we have funded everything for engaging students from field trips to hand drums to rockets, listening stations, manipulatives, for children who have a more difficult time being still in a class. Dinnerware sets for our life skills program, which is a program that helps students transition into being able to live on their own. And we've also done some really fun assemblies. And while these things are wonderful, as we move into our budgeting process for the next biennium, I would ask that everyone in this room reach out to your legislator and let them know how important education is for our students. We are raising our future leaders and workers in our community. We must do right by them. Every single child deserves a good education. Every single one. They make our community stronger when they're educated. Every single child deserves that chance to learn, and it's our duty to make it happen. And I would ask that you feel that it's your duty too. Everyone's duty is to provide our future with the tools to be successful, and they all are our future. I appreciate your time today. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you very much for this opportunity. My name is Paul Jorgensen. I'm running for position 5. Bethel District was organized in 1947. My parents helped do that. We consolidated 5 elementary districts into a K-12 district. The bond was passed. Willamette High School opened in 49. We presently have 11 schools in our district, and at one time we were one of the fastest growing districts in the state of Oregon. Board experience, 28 years for myself, 4 years as chair, 4 as vice chair. Served on various committees that we all get aligned to as you serve on a school board. My education, I went my bachelor degree from Pacific Lutheran, my master's from Oregon State, and then, of course, the Indochina War, Vietnam interrupted that for a minute. So for 4 years, from 68 to 72, I served in the U.S. Air Force, also in Indochina. I started my career. I live in Bethel. I worked in Eugene. I'm a retired member of the teaching administrative role. And I started at 72 in Churchill High School, 17 years there as a teacher, as an administrator. Then I went on to Jefferson Magnet Arts, as well as Spring Creek Elementary. I retired in 2003 and then worked for the district in special assignments to help administrators. Values and beliefs. Public education is the center of our republic, no question about it. Vouchers in private schools using public money, no way. Equal and fair opportunity for all students, and if you want to know what I'm talking about, look at the protected classes in the Civil Rights Act. You can name them. I can name a lot of them right here, but that's what I'm talking about. That's equal opportunity. Strong, qualified staff that are paid, that are rewarded for their hard work, their education, the contracts that they have, whether it be PERS or whatever, that's what I stand for. Strong, stable school funding. Of course, right now we have an interesting dilemma in the state. And protecting class sizes. I would cut lots of things before we cut deeply into class size. So, I appreciate my time on the board. It's been rewarding. I am a Danable Cascade Middle School and Willamette High School graduate. I've lived in the district since 47. And I had 2 former staff members that came up and said something to me, and they congratulated me, and I said, it's because I have strong staff. I wouldn't be able to do anything without the great staff I had. Thank you very much.
Next.
Hello, my name is Debbie Farr, and I just want you all to know that I'm a strong supporter of public education. That's why I joined the Bethel School Board in 2008 and why I'm running for re-election today. Bethel is a district with kids that have significant barriers, and if you read the paper today, you know we have the highest percentage of students who are considered homeless, and more than half of our students qualify for free and reduced lunch. Even with those challenges, as a board, we've improved test scores and increased graduation rates, further closing the achievement gap. Through our International Baccalaureate Program and Career Technical Education, we're opening the door to higher education or successful entry to the workforce for more Bethel graduates. We've increased graduation rates at our alternative high school, Kalapuya, while at the same time increasing academic rigor. We opened the first student health center in Bethel that provides health care for all Bethel kids and their siblings. I'm proud of all of these achievements, but one of my proudest achievements was passing the Bethel bond measure with a 73% yes vote. And with that bond measure, we replaced Bethel's two oldest elementary schools and added a LEED certified state-of-the-art science facility at Willamette High School, and I invite you to come tour those schools. They're beautiful. Today, I have two grandchildren who live in Bethel, so the future of our district is even more important to me. The biggest challenge, as you heard from my fellow board members, facing our district, and for that matter, every district in Oregon, is stable, adequate funding. Again, this biennium, we're faced with inadequate school funding. This has caused school boards everywhere to make hard decisions, either cutting school days or increasing class sizes. And I think all of you agree with me that our kids deserve better than that. My vision for the future is a school system that is adequately funded, and I know that all of you share that vision with me. So as my fellow board member, Danya Johnston, said, tell your legislators, tell the governor to find a way to fund education so all kids can be successful in school and successful in life. Thank you.
Hello, everyone. My name is Anne Marie Levis. I'm running for re-election in position 2 on the Eugene School Board. I'm so pleased to be here today to talk to you about why I'm such a passionate believer in public education and in our school district. First, a little bit about me. I'm a mom of two boys in the 4J school district. I'm a small business owner with 8 employees. My firm does communication work for local businesses, educational institutions, and local nonprofits. An example of the work that we do is work recently with Umpqua Community College. My firm was hired to help work in the wake of the horrible shooting on October 1st. I personally spent a year driving back and forth to Roseburg, and this experience profoundly altered my perspective on the world. I'm an incorrigible volunteer. I have yet to learn how to say no to a good cause. I volunteered for the Eugene Library. I was a planning commissioner. I was on Looking Glass Shelter Care. I work a lot at the University of Oregon, and I mentor young women as they enter their careers. In my 8 years on the Eugene School Boards, we faced a lot of challenges, but also some great successes. My first 2 years, we closed schools and realigned our budgets. We made cuts to essential education programs, and we shortened our school year to balance our budget. We worked collaboratively with our unions to reverse these trends and set on a positive path to establish a strategic plan. A year and a half ago, we hired Dr. Gustavo Balderas, who's an exceptional leader and administrator. We passed a $170 million school bond that built Howard Elementary, Roosevelt, and is building ATA and River Road. We passed 2 renewals of the local option levy, which brings $8 million to our school district each year. Every dollar is needed. We worked with Save Civic and Kid Sports to transfer historic Civic Stadium, unfortunately, has changed. And we've worked with the Y to establish a new site on their on our old Roosevelt. But we can do more. That's why I'm running for re-election. We need to lower our class sizes, add career and technical, need to significantly increase our high school graduation rates, and we have to figure out a way to fund our education. We can't keep asking our schools to do more with less. This is a social justice issue and an economic development issue. Thank you so much.
Next person.
Hi, my name is Maya Rabassa, and I'm excited to be here to share a little about myself and my values with you. I was born in Mexico and moved to the States when I was just entering school age, and this has profoundly influenced my relationship to public schools. I have been in education for 26 years and had the privilege of entering the arena through a career and technical education program. This has led me to be a lifelong supporter of ensuring that our students connect classroom instruction with real life experiences and implementing what we learn in action. I moved to Eugene 20 years ago to attend the University of Oregon and earned my bachelor's and master's with honors there, and knew upon arriving in Eugene that I would stay here and that I wanted to raise my family here. I now have three children, a sophomore, a sixth grader, and an incoming kindergartner. When my daughter graduates, I will have put in 24 years of dedicated, passionate service to this district. I wanted to talk a little bit about how important it is for us as potential district leaders to represent with integrity. I want to be the person who is the ear of the community. I hear consistently that people are feeling alienated and disenfranchised, and that certain stakeholders are finding themselves without a place to have their voices heard. I believe that the school district board should be similar to our site councils and filled with different varieties of stakeholders. I think we could think of it as a Swiss Army knife with all different types of tools. Nobody wants a Swiss Army knife just filled with scissors, unless you're maybe a tailor. I personally would like to have the opportunity to serve in the role of this tool as someone who is there to carve out space to ensure that different stakeholders are valued as experts, that it's not just one variety of voice who is listened to, but parents, teachers, school workers, and even our students. I do not want to hear parents saying, "Our voice doesn't matter," and I keep hearing that over and over and over. I would very much appreciate the opportunity to help diversify the board in the capacity of a different variety of information and window into the schools. I've spent thousands of hours in our classrooms in diverse roles. I have volunteered as an interpreter. I have also done your typical chaperoning of field trips. This volunteer capacity that I have taken on has given me an understanding, an intimate understanding of our families' needs and our teachers as well. And I got to stop.
Hi, I'm Mary Layton. Thanks for giving me the opportunity to speak with you on what has become my civic home turf. It's good to have a chance to talk about what I can do. Around the community, you'll see my campaign signs urging you to elect experience. My experience will strengthen the 4J board in three ways. First, I have 45 years of experience in public education, weaving together teaching, administering, leading programs, and doing policy research. I've learned some very useful lessons. For example, as a teacher, I know that I'm a much better teacher with 22 kids in the class than with 32 kids in the class. As a school and district administrator, I learned from teachers and parents and community members how to choose reform projects that make a difference for kids but have the distinct stamp of local values and cultures. As a policy researcher, I learned from Joyce Benjamin, among others, about how well federal programs for children living in poverty supported what I viewed as an excellent set of state standards and programs. Second, I have broad and deep local experience in building coalitions that affect student learning. I was principal of a uniquely Eugene school that is a collaborative enterprise of community groups with education mission. And City Club, I coordinated programs that allowed many voices to offer their own descriptions of issues and suggest their own solutions. I raised money for the Civic Associate Program that helped three minority students design and produce programs. Collaboration isn't just recruiting people to your own agenda, it's sharing the authority to set the agenda. Third, I have experience in local career education. For 4 years, I've taught a free course co-sponsored by City Club, Eugene Chamber of Commerce, Lane Workforce Partnership, and Lane ESD to extend teachers' knowledge of the local economy. We visited almost 40 companies in all. Here's what one teacher said about the course that just ended. Every week this course inspired and invigorated me. I loved that I was able to pass along to current and up-to-date information about employment to my students. My interest was contagious. My students couldn't wait to hear what business I had visited the night before. In summary, my on-the-ground K-12 public school experience, ingrained practice of collaboration, and knowledge of local economic opportunity and needs offers the best match for the demands of board work. In this race, you have a chance to elect the right experience, and I hope you elect me, Mary Layton.
Hello, my name's Jerry Rosick, and I want to thank you all for coming here. I want to thank the people in the audience for caring enough to come and talk about education, and everybody in the listening audience as well. My name's Jerry Rosick. I'm running for school board position 3 in Eugene 4J. I'm a former physics teacher. I'm also a current professor of education at the University of Oregon. I've been an administrator at the University of Oregon. I've managed multi-million dollar budgets and personnel. I currently run a million-dollar grant serving indigenous students who come to the University of Oregon to get their teaching certificate. I was hired at the University of Oregon to bring the University of Oregon together with the community to repair relationships and rebuild our teacher education program at a moment of crisis. We did that work, and we now have a teacher education program that's ranked 15th in the nation for value and quality. So I have experience. I have 30 years of experience, not 45. but I'm working on the 45. But I'm getting involved in this election because I have a daughter in the 4J schools. She's 10 years old. She goes to elementary school, and there are class sizes of 31 in the kindergarten classes at her school. There are class sizes of 55 in our high schools. There should not be class sizes that large. There should be 25. Something's wrong. And part of the problem is we've lost local control of our schools. Since Measure 5, we've lost the ability to raise money for our own schools locally, so we're dependent upon the state. Then we're dependent upon the feds. And the feds and the state don't come through for us, and when they do come through a little bit for us, they exert 100% control over our curriculum for the little bit of money they give us. So they impose high-stakes standardized tests. They impose the Common Core curriculum. That drives electives out of our high schools, and it drives art and music out of our elementary schools. But the real reason I'm involved in this election is the November elections that just took place. Our new president has appointed Betsy DeVos to our Secretary of Education position, and they are now proposing to impose a voucher funding system in our public schools that will spell the end of a commitment to free and universal public education in our country after 125 years of commitment. And I don't want to be part of a generation that stands by and sees that happen. So that's why I'm involved in this election. You have great candidates up here. Everybody loves kids. We have to push back one way or the other. And that's why I asked for your vote on May 16th.
My name's Judy Newman, and I'm running for position 3 in the 4J school district. And I also thank you all for being here. It is really heartwarming to see so many people interested in the education of our kids. So, how do you summarize a career of 45 years and experience in education in this community in 2.5 minutes? And then convince you why I'm the person that has the skills and expertise that you want on the 4J school board now? Very challenging. So I, like Mary, came up with 4 things I want to talk about. One, and first and foremost, is kids are at the heart of my work, my motivation, and every single decision I make. Number 2, I have 40 years of hands-on, real-life experience in education. I'm the founder and co-director of Early Childhood Cares. We've provided educational services to over 20,000 children in Lane County. EC Cares is a public education program where every child is served and we can have no wait lists. So I've had to manage a large public budget through good times and very tough times. We support over 200 employees and are recognized in the state and nationally as a model program. I've been a College of Education instructor for over 30 years as well, and I've taught future teachers and future administrators, and it's given me a really good idea of what these education professionals need to be successful in their work. 3, I'm a proven coalition and systems builder. Schools can't solve the mounting complex problems all by themselves. We have to bring in the whole community to be part of addressing them. I've done this through years of leadership in United Way of Lane County, in shelter care, in the Early Learning Alliance, in K-12, and I know the community and the power of partnerships. And I believe I can bring those partnerships into the school to help 4J kids so our teachers can do what they do best, which is teach kids. Four, I'm a tenacious advocate for vulnerable children. For 25 years, I've successfully advocated in Salem for education funding and also progressive policies. I'm a respected voice, and I have strong relationships with legislators and policymakers. You know all three of us, for position three, are progressive candidates, and we'll all oppose Trump and DeVos and those education policies that could undermine our schools. That's a given. However, we need to focus on what our students in our schools need right now, today, and give them a good education and a fair chance in life. I'm not a person of rhetoric. I'm very practical and results-oriented. And I'm proud and grateful to be endorsed by so many organizations that actually know my work and people. Thanks, in this community.
Hi, my name is Evangelina Sundgrens, and I'm running for position six. I'm running because these are challenging times, and these require a board member with experience, budgetary knowledge, and leadership. I'm a proud parent of a preschooler, and like my child and my parents, I learned English in daycare and preschool. My family is multicultural and multilingual. We speak Mongol at home, and we're diversity. Far too often, members of our diverse communities do not have equitable access to be a part of the public decision-making process. And I'm running to be a voice for those who are so often not heard and not seen. I'm the current chair of the 4J Budget Committee. I'm on my second term, and I've served in leadership committees like the Vision 2020 Strategic Plan, the Superintendent Search Committee, and the Local Option Levy Ballot Measure. I visit and I volunteer in schools, and I have a deep commitment to this community and our children. I believe in public service. I've served on statewide and other community organizations that have given me a broad understanding of our district's concerns and our issues. My priorities are reducing class sizes in a targeted way. We didn't get here overnight, and we're not going to solve this tomorrow. Educational equity, making sure our students have the resources that they need to be successful. Raising graduation rates through school-to-career pathways, including CTE classes and partnerships with the business community. My experience, dedication, and qualifications will help 4J navigate this revenue crisis and the increase of children living in poverty and homelessness. We must do better. Quality public education is the great equalizer, and it's a community issue. It affects us all, not just those of us who have children. We can never take public education for granted. It's the hallmark of democracy, and it's our future. I'm proud to be endorsed by over 71 personal endorsements and 9 education and organizational endorsements, which include members of the 4J board, the budget committee, OSEA, EEA, and Stand for Children. Please visit alexsundgrens.org for more information and for my platform. And please attend a budget committee meeting. Tell us your concerns, your priorities. Education is, after all, a community affair.
Now we'll break for about 5 minutes to formulate questions from each table.
This is KLCC Eugene 89.7, KLCO Newport 90.5, 89.1 KLFR Reedsport, and at 88.1 KLFO Florence, KMPQ Roseburg, KLBR Bend. KLCC is a service of Lane Community College. We're on Facebook and Twitter and online at klcc.org.
Welcome back to the April 14th City Club program. Meet the candidates, Bethel and Eugene 4J School Boards. Support for City Club of Eugene is for members and sponsors, including Eugene Legal, providing convenient, affordable legal services to people in the Eugene, Springfield area, and University of Oregon Academic Extension. The UofO Academic Extension brings the University of Oregon's fine teaching and research to our regional community. Special thanks to our host, the Baker Center, for hosting our meetings every Friday. Now, this is a favorite part of mine. We're going to be asking some questions to the candidates. I see that we have people lined up. That means that I'm going to ask you to be brief on your questions. If you are making a statement, I will cut you off. With that in mind, let's start with the first question, and please be brief, sir.
Yes. Marty Wilde, City Club member since 2010. Despite a long-term commitment to equity in 4J, disparities remain fairly strong between economically disadvantaged rates. For instance, it's 82% economically disadvantaged at Chavez versus only 20% at Charlemagne, whose parents want a more economically diverse community. Why don't we just address the 4J candidates? What would you do to change those vastly disparate numbers? Thank you.
4Js, who wants to go first?
All right, I'll start. This is Mary. The board exercises prudent policy very often on issues of choice around the district. It doesn't yet exercise prudent enough policy. So we have to start looking very hard at our preference of choice over equity, among other things. And if we allow choice, we have to be willing to pay the price. We have to be willing to pay the price, which might include busing, for example. So this is a policy issue over which the board has control. And we have to understand that when we prevail as a community on issues of choice, then we are choosing choice over equity, because it almost inevitably choice is associated with inequitable outcomes for kids.
I want to echo what Mary just said about transportation. I have been recently very impressed with Gustavo Valderas's commitment to really considering deeply about, my name is Maya Rabassa, sorry, I forgot that point. Really considering deeply what to do with our school choice situation. I'm very impressed with some of the creative solutions that we've come up with in terms of offering a transportation solution to family school, for example, using a hub at ATA. I think there are transportation solutions that are outside of the box. We have a long history of decades of busing issues that contribute to disparities. And I think that the example at Buena Vista with buses bringing children in, and instead of having families only be able to attend if they can provide transportation, is something that I think would be incredibly valuable to continue growth with.
Anne Marie Levis, position two. Since the first year I was on the school board, we've been talking about equity, excellence, and choice, and the work that we've done on school choice. We actually proactively did not provide transportation because we were worried about skimming off people from our neighborhood schools. The board has asked almost, I think, 6 months ago that we need to bring this forward on our calendar to talk about school choice. We've had issues with North Eugene, where many people have left North Eugene, and so we've been actively working on our policy to bring more equity throughout the district, and I think it's a critical issue as we look forward.
Okay, the other end.
This is Evangelina Sundgrens, running for position number 6. Equity is a huge issue for me, especially in school choice. Not only do we need to look at ways to have our students have their needs met in the different schools, each of our schools have different attributes to them, and our parents will make that decision. But one thing that I always look at is funding and revenue. And one of the things that I know, being on the budget committee, is I call our budget a Franken budget. There are unintended consequences everywhere. So making sure that, and we do need to make our schools more equitable. But one of the things is this will take time. We need your input. I want to hear more from our community and our parents, and so that we can do this in a way that really helps our students and doesn't disadvantage another population.
There's just one other aspect that we haven't touched on. Oh, this is Judy Newman. Thank you. And that is that even if we equaled the playing field and every child could be transported to the school of their choice, I think there are a whole lot of parents out there who aren't even aware that they need to think about that, that there are choices out there. And we have to really figure out how to reach out to different communities and get the information to parents if we're going to be providing choice. Choice is only as good as those that know it exists. So in working with the families that we work with in early childhood cares, we're going to have to get better at that and figure that out.
Jerry Rosick, candidate for 4J School Board Position 3. The issue of choice and school choice is intimately tied up with issues of race and class segregation in our schools. They're really the same issue. I just finished writing a book on a 10-year study of the racial segregation of a public school district, and it is a really knotty problem. Because you can have choice policies or not choice policies at the board level, but people will exert their choice by moving their house someplace. And then what happens is certain schools develop a reputation, usually a reputation that is not deserved. Working class students learn just as well as other students, and students from households that are literacy rich and their parents are highly educated and give a lot of support, their kids do just as well at schools with diverse populations as schools that have less diverse populations. So you don't get any real pedagogical curricular advantage by going to a school in which more of the kids look like you. However, people perceive themselves to have that benefit. It conveys status on your school attendance, and so then people move out. And that conveys a lower status on a school. And then the school starts to lose investment. The students know they're in the low status school. You go to all the high schools here and ask the students to rank the four high schools, and they will rank them consistently. They know which schools are ranked academically and status-wise. We're teaching that to them by the way we organize our schools. And I do not believe any choice policy. Choice policies can exacerbate it, right? But choice policies can't stop the migration of people to schools when they have the wealth to do so, to move themselves from one district to another. So what you have to do is you have to create all your schools in such a way that they are actually equally desirable, and so that people will move to all these different places for different reasons. So that means the schools have to have different things that make them desirable. Schools have to be locally innovative. I don't really like charter schools, not because I don't like innovation, but because I think all schools should have the right to innovate like charter schools so that they can all develop really interesting curriculum, and then people will make decisions about where they want to go, move their house if they want to, and it would be and it will produce equity that way. We have to give people a lot of good choices so that we don't have the perception of only a few good choices, and that drives the problems that come with segregation related to choice.
All right, so that covers the first round. We're going to go right next to the next question. So we're going to do 30-second question and 30-second answer. Go ahead, ma'am.
I'm Betty Taylor. I've been a city club member since 1990. I've been a city councilor since 1997. And I was an English teacher, so I have lots of opinions, but I won't tell you those. My question is for the people who are not currently on the board, the three candidates for Position 3 and Maya. What would you do differently from what the current school board is doing? And the ones who have competition, I mean.
Maya, you want to go?
I think I spoke to this a little bit earlier, but I would like to see more value placed on our different stakeholders. I would like to see our local community tapped for our levels of expertise. I would like to see us not importing experts, and when we have a university with brilliant people like Jerry Rosick, there's really no reason for us to be looking outside of our community at a higher expense. I would like to see more transparency, both in designing policy, but as well as implementing it. When Judy mentioned choice being a problem because people don't know about it, that tells me that we have a problem with how we're communicating our policies. I would also like to see a situation where we try to find solutions that are interdependent on each other and can cover more ground than just one solution.
So I've been really interested in board conversations, and the likeliest thing that happened to me while I'm watching is that I'll think, oh, wait, I could have actually helped with this one, because it's like a conversation that has a hole in it, and the hole is the perspective from someone who's been in a school, has tried to do this, or like, and so sometimes I think, well, this doesn't actually play out the way you think it might. So a couple of times I've been there when they made decisions, I think I would have influenced them to make a little differently. They weren't earth-shattering decisions, but they were just missing some information that might have changed their mind. So that's it.
I think we have earnest people working on the board. I'm going to take one example. I'm an advocate. I think I'm most known for being an advocate for against the use of, the overuse of standardized testing in our schools. And I've been frustrated with the way in which the board has supported the district in withholding information about parents' opt-out rights for opting out of the tests. And I think that's a really important both individual right and an important political action to opt out of these tests, because if we can get these tests to be used less, then we'll have more room for electives in our curriculum, less narrowing of our curriculum. And so I think more transparency and more openness with the board and parents and the community would be very useful.
I'm going to go back to the theme of listening. Oh, this is Judy Newman. I'm sorry. I think I'm going to return to the theme of listening to the community. I think that what happens now is the board hears from the people who show up. And this room is probably full of people who show up, but there are a whole lot of voices in our community that we are not hearing from. And again, we need to work with our communities to figure out how to reach out and get a broader perspective of what's going on in our community and what's important and what will solve our problems.
Okay.
Mike
Next
Rose,
question.
City Club member. And we know that the curriculum has diminished since 1990 when voters approved Measure 5. Now, in November, voters have also approved unfunded mandates, very large and new programs. They're worthwhile programs, but there's no funding associated with them. So as new board members, I'll address, for the sake of time, limited to 4J at the moment. How would you respond to that demand for these unfunded mandates?
Go ahead, Mary.
Hi, I feel like I am the queen of stone soup. I never worked in a school that had a whole lot of money. In fact, the only time I worked in a rich neighborhood was in a district where you sent your money to the poor schools and you figured the parents would raise the rest in the rich school. So by stone soup, I mean making something even though it appears that you don't have anything. So the course I've been teaching that at City Club initiated, the course for teachers on bringing brings teachers to businesses is one. The first time we did it, it had a zero out of pocket. The next time, the next few times, I think it cost a couple of $1,000. That's it. There are ways to fix things, to begin fixing things, a very limited way that don't cost money.
All right. That ends the time. Next.
Unfunded mandates. This is Anne Marie Levis. Unfunded mandates are nothing new to our school district. What I will tell you is career and technical. For every class that a career and technical student takes, we get a better graduation rate. It's up to 91%. We have to invest in these things. So it's really critical, even though some of these things are unfunded, that we figure out a way to do it.
This is Judy Newman. And I wanted to just say that I totally agree with the importance of the Measure 98 implementation. So I think really what we have to do is work tenaciously to get some new resources in this state. We have legislators right now that are trying to craft some taxes or measures that are going to bring more resources. We can't keep doing more for less, and I think we all need to roll up our sleeves and come up with some solutions that are going to be palatable and can pass the legislature and pass the voters.
This is Evangelina Sundgrens, and unfunded mandates concern me. We have a lot of unfunded mandates right now in 4J and in other districts across our state that voters have chosen to have them, but we can't fund them. And our local option levy passed with 76%, which tells me that the community really values education. But when we have a deficit of $1.8 billion in the state of Oregon, we need to invest, not divest. That is not a spending issue. And it's never a spending problem when it comes to our children. We need to fund. We have a revenue issue. Please contact your legislators.
Yeah. Jerry Rosick, position four, Eugene School Board. Position three. Oh, sorry, position three. Come before you, Evangelina. Position three. So we lost local control of our budgets when we passed Measure 5. We've said this. But it's not a simple matter of asking people to give us more money. This is a really deep political problem. And we all have to be engaged in pushing back against it. Eugene loves its public schools, as evidenced by bond measures being passed and levies being passed. But we don't have control over our own local budgets. We have to organize, and there is a movement already happening statewide, to repeal things like Measure 5 and look at more local control and local funding of public schools. We wouldn't do this to our children if we had the choice.
Great. Thanks for the answer. Next person.
I agree with the need to try to reverse Measure 5 and return control to this local level. I think also this piggybacks on the last question. I am frustrated that our board didn't endorse Measure 97. If Measure 97 had passed, Measure 98 would be a lot easier to implement. I also think an immediate answer is looking at our local businesses and local organizations to collaborate. I couldn't agree more that career and technical education is essential, and I think that this offers us an opportunity to fill some gaps. I think we need to, however, stop looking at our local community for the answer every single time and look to some statewide solutions. Maya Rabassa, position two.
All right, we're going to go to the next question. Remember, we also have Bethel candidates here. Next.
Beth Giroux, City Club member since 2001, and I've served on the Eugene School Board for the last 18 years. My question is directed only to the 4J candidates. Briefly, what specific skills and leadership style would you bring in working with Eugene School Board as it makes tough decisions around policy and allocation of limited resources while continuing to push forward in improving the learning environment for all students?
Can we start from this end, Emery Levis, and go the other way?
Sure.
Okay.
This is Emery Levis. This is really nothing new to our school board. We've had to deal with tough budget issues. I bring a balanced approach, open mind. I approach everything with an equity lens and thinking about cultural competence. What are we doing? How does this impact every child in our district? Those are the things that I bring to this.
This is Maya Rabassa for position two. I am a listener. I have created relationships based on listening, and I'm very talented at taking what I hear and turning it into a message on behalf of other people. I also would like to make sure that we seek out different voices and that the voices that we value aren't consistently the same voices. Thank you.
I'm Mary Layton, and I'm an elementary teacher, which means that I look at every kid walking in the door, it's like, whoa! How cool, what an interesting example of human condition that is. And I feel the same way about the board members. I mean, I watch the board members and I think, whoa, those people would be interesting to work with. I'm not a haver of good ideas, I'm a noticer of good ideas. So I have a lot of initiative, but usually if you look at my life, I've been working on an idea I found in my environment that made a lot of sense to me. So what I bring to the board is an interest and energy in promoting the good ideas I hear for the benefit of the children of the district.
Thank you. Next person.
Thanks for your service, Beth Giroux. My leadership style is to bring people together, often in conditions where people have really, really divergent views, and sit down and make sure everybody's listening to each other and hearing and listening to folks. that's hard work. You have to get to know people. You have to understand their interests. My concern about our current board and the kind of leadership it's going to need is we need to change the frame on our contemporary education conversation. We can't just sit hunkered down and try and weather the storm for one more term. We have to change the frame, which means having some differences of opinion about what our priorities are. We have to have some open debate.
Thank you, sir. Next person.
I'm Judy Newman. And I would echo many things. I'm a good listener, I'm a coalition builder, and I'm a person who takes action. And I think during these times, it's really, really important to be aware of the research and the data and to know what works. When we have limited resources, I think we have to make very careful and sound decisions and be really good stewards of what we have.
This is Evangelina Sundgrens. I'd like to state that, yes, we need to look at the research and the data that tells us, our analytics tell us, what is working, where we need to tweak things. The background that I bring to the board would be, I'm a consensus builder, I'm a relationship builder, and I value education and communication, reaching out to not just the people we see and hear from at every moment, but people that are not there, that will be impacted, sometimes in the worst ways, making sure that there are no unintended consequences. And when I say that I am for equity, that includes special needs, ELL, TAG, homeless population, every single student, making sure that they have the resources that they need.
All right, let's go ahead and get to the next question. Ready?
Yes. Hi, my name is Tad Shannon. I'm a teacher in 4J and a City Club member. I think everyone in this room recognizes that we need more revenue for our schools. And my question is, many of us attempted to pass a measure that would have addressed that in the fall, neither the Bethel nor the 4J school boards found it in themselves to endorse that measure. And I'm wondering, to what extent do the candidates up here believe that business has a responsibility to help fund schools? We are lowest corporate tax rate in the nation. And what can you do as leaders in the education communities to engage business and encourage them to step forward and take some responsibility in the school funding question?
Let's do Bethel first. We haven't heard.
So
do you mind standing up, Debbie?
Yes, no, I don't. And again, this is Debbie Farr. I'm with the Bethel School Board. I appreciate that question, and I do understand why you may wonder the boards did not endorse Measure 97. We represent a diverse constituency in our districts. And as you know, Measure 97 was soundly rejected by voters. So Measure 97 is history. What I believe now we need to do is work with our legislature and our governor to identify some additional revenue sources. And yes, we do need to bring business to the table, and business is ready. Those conversations are actually happening right now.
Donia Johnson, right. Bethel. I'm just going to piggyback on what Debbie said, and that we do represent our constituency. We have voters that that vote for us, and so we have to be open and listen and turn around and vote in the same way that they would like us to. And that isn't always even necessarily what we agree with, but the reality is that we have to represent everyone.
Thanks.
Actually, I appreciate this, Anne Marie Levis. I am already convening business people to talk about this. Our board debated extensively whether to endorse or not. We decided to stick with our policy of keeping with local issues. But we have to figure out funding. Funding is critical. I've been meeting with business people and talking to them about what will you fund? What is important for this? This isn't economic development issue, our education. We have to fund it. We have to do better.
Next person.
This is Maya Rabassa for position two. One thing I can say for myself is that in future chances for opportunities like Measure 97, I have zero conflict of interest that would prevent me from aggressively pursuing support for this. I personally would like to put effort into educating our community. The pushback that we received through highly polished campaigns encouraging us to vote against this was intense, and I, as a board member, would like to
support
Thank
that
you,
in
ma'am.
The future.
Next person.
So I'm Mary Layton. The course I teach is actually one really good way to get the business community on board. The thing that businesses always say after the teachers visit them is they had no idea the work was like what it's like. So I think that's important. I'm like Maya. I would want to vote yes. I have learned by watching and listening to these conversations that my first thought is not always the best place to end, but my impulse is to say, yes, let's do it. Let us not let the good, the perfect, be the enemy of the good.
Thank you.
Jerry Rosick, board position, Eugene board position 3. I supported 97, spoke out in favor of it. I was disappointed that that our board didn't take a stand for a couple of reasons. There was an enormous amount of money put into lobbying against Measure 97, and we need our public leaders to actually stand up and educate the public about what's at stake. Even if the board disagrees, they should publicly disagree and talk about their disagreements, because that elevates public conversation. And that's what I would do if I was on the board.
Next person.
I'm Judy Newman for position 34J. And I also voted for 97. I am really feeling like we really desperately need funds in our schools. I know our business leaders in our community really do support education and would like to be a part of the solution. So I think what we need to do is really dig in deep and find out what the real problems were with 97 were, because we do need an increase in corporate tax. And so I think we do need to figure out how to fix it and come back.
Thank you.
Evangelina Sundgrens, position 6. I was one of the speakers for Measure 97 a year before we actually had a ballot measure. Anytime there is a measure that affects our education system, that affects our schools, that means funding, I will be there for it. And I strongly believe that our school boards, in light of Oregon's funding and revenue issue, we need to support measures. We need to tell the community that these measures are important, not just for our community, but our children and our schools.
Thank you. Before we thank our guests today, there are a few quick reminders. The City Club is very appreciative of our sponsors, including the Oregon Country Fair, Eugene Legal, University of Oregon Academic Extension. And thank you to KLCC for airing our programs on Monday at 6:30. And to Community Television of Lane County for televising recent City Club programs. The program next week is Our Representative Democracy, Can It Survive? The speaker is Congressman Peter DeFazio. The location is the University of Oregon Knight Law Center. This event does require for you to RSVP. In fact, we have extended the registration deadline to 5 p.m. today. Lunch is available. Additional information about these programs and many other information can be found at www.cityclubofeugene.org. A quick shout out to the Bethel School District for continuously bringing equity and cultural programs to their district, such as the upcoming May 12 Mother's Day or Dia de las Madres with Mago Gilson. Engage, honor, and celebrate their families. Way to go. Keep it up. Now let's give a big round of applause to all these candidates and their willingness to serve our school boards. My name is Juan Carlos Valle, and this concludes today's program. Thank you all.